Good morning.
Hey there, sweet pea.
Hey, I hope you had some good sleep.
You want some breakfast?
You've been in bed for like 3 weeks. Let's get up and get at it.
Let's go.
Yeah.
It's the Phantom Family Podcast.
Why, hello there, friends. I am Tori Phantom here with my husband, Jimothy.
Jimothy is still me.
Yes, that is still true to this day, and you are listening to the Phantom Family Podcast.
Found wherever fine podcasts are found, and bad ones, too. They're everywhere.
Okay.
Well, there are some bad podcasts. I'm not going to mention any of them because I don't listen to them, so I wouldn't know. I'm a man of refined quality and taste.
Seems legit. I lied. What?
So how have you been?
So good.
It's been so long since we've seen you.
I want you to know that's how I answer every time that I sign on to my therapy. My therapist goes, "How have you been?" And I look at her and I go, "So good."
Oh yeah, I mean literally every time somebody asks me, "Hey, how you doing?" Living the dream.
Yeah, I just that's my default response. How are you? So good. Am I so good? I guess you have to listen to the tone of my voice while I say it.
So good.
So good right now.
Which tells you that it's a lie.
It's a lie.
Yes.
And
what have we said about lies?
They're bad under most circumstances.
True. Sometimes it's okay to lie.
Not usually.
It's okay to lie in a situation where if I got you a surprise.
A surprise isn't a lie, though. It's a lie that will be told. So it's like a surprise. It's
okay,
different.
But what if you do something bad and you lie about it, but then it comes out and it gets told anyway? Because that's the same thing. That's just like putting a little spin on it.
Yeah, lying's bad, Jim.
So this is where we've been, is just discussing the most random things instead of actually making podcasts.
Literally, most of mine and Jim's conversations come down to discussing what genre specific bands belong into. It gets pretty heated, and it's every day of our lives.
It's because we did that today. We talked about whether Three Days Grace was new metal or not. Yep.
That's a long conversation.
It has issues, I can't even think of the word.
I don't think 3 Days Grace is new metal.
It has some aspects of the new metal genre.
I feel like it's like radio rock, but kind of like the themes are emo.
Radio rock is one thing because they play AC/DC and Linkin Park on the same channels.
That's true, but I don't think 3 Days Grace is new metal. We don't need to rehash
elements
conversation
of new metal. It's post-grunge. Right, it's all in there.
Right, I feel like new metal has to have a rappy aspect to it, though.
It evolved, much like you think of 3 Days Grace as emo. When I think of it emo, I don't think of it as emo.
Dashboard I think of it closer to emo. And I didn't think of Dashboard Confessional as emo.
Which is ridiculous
until a couple years ago. But once you elaborated on why you thought so, I was like, yeah, okay, Dashboard Confessional is emo. But it's not what I would have considered it because it's so like pleasant, you know? And like for me, emo was like scream singing a note to self from first to last, like until I'm crying. Like that's emo. Like I don't know what emo world you're living in, but it's
this one.
Not the same. Like give me some Burt McCracken, you know?
I would rather never. But what we should do, we should make a video one day, probably a video, whether a TikTok or a YouTube series, of one of our little tournaments.
We do. That's kind of our thing whenever Jim and I take road trips, which isn't so frequent these last few years.
Not so much, but
prior to that, there was a lot of road trips. We like to create brackets for the top however many songs from different genres.
I mean, it's a bracket, so it's either 32 or 64 usually,
yeah,
depending on how
sports. Anyway,
no, that's just a single elimination. That's how you do it.
I believe you. You're the one who sets it up, but we make a playlist to go along with the bracket, and then we listen to the bracket playlist throughout the car ride, and we determine who the winner is. The last one we did was emo music, and we came up with an answer, and 3 days later, we both decided we were wrong, so we changed it.
The judges relented.
Yes.
And the winner of the most emo song was Cute Without the E.
Cut from the team, Taking Back Sunday.
Taking Back Sunday.
That's a good song. So
It holds up. Even now, I think it holds up. It's pretty good.
It does. And you know what else you can listen to on road trips, Jimothy?
The sound of the tires hitting the things on the side of the road so you don't drive off.
Audiobooks?
Audiobooks would be better to listen to than rumble strips.
Probably.
Most situations.
Yeah.
That, yes.
And do you know people can actually get a free audiobook from Audible.
That's true. All you got to do is check out www.audibletrial.com/phantom, and you can get yourself a free credit for a free month. You got a book there. And if you're a Prime member, you actually get 2 credits. And then every month after that, it's $14.95, and you get a credit every month or 2 credits, depending on your Prime membership level.
And you can keep them forever, even if you cancel.
Even if you cancel after the first month, it's still your free book forever. And free is my favorite price.
I love free.
I love free. So check it out. That's www.audibletrial.com/phantom.
So how have you been feeling, Jimothy?
I have been feeling, yes, thank you.
I'm so proud of you. That's new.
It is new. It's not so much new that I'm feeling, it's more that I'm just willing to
that you're willing to admit it. That you're feeling.
Yes.
Yeah, that's new.
I've always kind of felt, I just never really
talked
about it.
You didn't like it. You didn't like it.
I didn't like to address it. Yeah. That's what we didn't like.
So this week, do you know what we're talking about, Jimothy? That's a rhetorical question, because you do know.
I do know what we're talking about.
You do know what we're talking about. It's mental health. Yay.
Nope, wrong button.
Okay, try again.
There we go.
There it is. Mental health. Yay.
Honestly, they both work.
Yeah. Anyway. So let's start from the top.
Make it drop.
Now that song's going to be in my head for the next
hour. It's stuck in all your heads now, too.
Okay. So anyway, let's start from the beginning, Jimothy.
Start from the beginning. All right. How? I was born on a Friday morning in
is
1985. Yes,
it was.
It was a Friday.
I was born on a Tuesday. Anyway. How did your family handle mental health when you were a young child the late 80s and early 90s in rural Kentucky? How did they handle that?
You think they handled it? That's adorable. No, they did not. I did.
Yeah, I've met them.
The only person probably in my family that's ever really been kind of open with any sort of mental health struggle was one of my aunts, and that was always kind of met with ridicule, basically. It wasn't something that people spoke positively of, or like, oh, it's a good thing that she's getting help. You know, that's great that she's going in. No, it was literally like slurs, like, oh, you know, old crazy pants is going to the nut house, stuff like that. Like very
disgusting.
Insulting things.
It's
like
disgusting.
Yeah, very, very. Just not well, basically, to answer your question.
Biggest amount of help, I think, when someone is very much struggling with their mental illness is to have their family supporting them in that journey. Because without that support, it makes it so much harder.
I agree with that statement.
So when you were a kid and you had big feelings, what happened? Do you want to hit the red button? Or
trauma dump. I'll hit it for you, but I don't really it's not like a negative kind of trauma for me. It's negative overall in how it's impacted me as an adult and how I handle things now, but it wasn't a thing that I think back on that I was terribly upset about or anything like that. It caused a period of lifelong learned negative behavior. So it wasn't like I don't think about it as like oh, this used to happen this year. No, it was just like all right, every day it's like, oh, as I've said, my great grandmother, if she would be upset at us because we were being upset, she would always say something I thought was really weird, and maybe it was like an old timey thing, but she'd always say, dry it up. Just like that.
I never
old
even
lady
met
voice.
Her, but I can imagine this because everyone in your family who imitates your mama does the same voice.
Yes, it's that.
That was what her voice sounded like.
That was what it was. That was her exact
dry
voice.
Dry it up.
So she would say, dry it up. I guess mean dry the tears up. Stop crying. Stop doing this.
It's so healthy to just shut down your feelings. Anyway, recently Jim and I were looking at some things, and I taught Jim that he has an avoidant attachment style.
I've learned that, and I
accept
this.
And it blew his mind.
Well, it's because when you were reading all of the signs of the avoidant attachment, I was like, who gave them my biography? Like, you are literally speaking about me.
Right.
This is me. Yeah. So I've recently learned that, and that kind of, I will say it sort of blew my mind because I read that and it made me realize a lot of things. It was like, oh, there were a lot of unhealthy behaviors I learned growing up, like not expressing big feelings. And if I was being yelled at because I was in trouble, I couldn't explain myself. I couldn't, you know, say anything because that was talking back and that was on and that was shut up when I'm talking to you. That was one of those kind of situations. Sorry if this is triggering for anybody or bothers anyone hearing that, because I'm sure even right now I'm kind of feeling a heightened response thinking about like that yelling in the face of like the, you know, grabbing the cheeks. I got that a few times.
Yeah,
I got that. So that's what I would get. So from then on, it would just be like, all right, if I'm going to be yelled at, if there's going to be big negative feelings coming at me, I am going to just shut down and be quiet.
Shut it down.
And that's how I kind of still am. I'm working on stopping that.
And I'm proud of you for that.
But it is something that is what is a consequence of how I was raised and how the family dealt with, honestly, any sort of emotions that weren't just straight up anger.
Yeah.
So, you know, like I wasn't like beaten and abused or anything like that. I wouldn't say that I had a terribly negative childhood, but that is a negative aspect that I have come out with what I don't know that I would call it emotional baggage, but it is.
It is. No, it is. And I think and I don't mean to correct you on that. I just think that one of the things that, and we've talked about this, is that, you know, I'm a very open person about the things that I've been through in my life and what my childhood trauma looks like. And when you're comparing your story to mine, it's easy to say, well, I didn't have that, so it must not have been bad.
Exactly.
But one of the worst things we can do is to look at someone else and say, well, they have it worse, so I don't have it bad. It's not a competition. Suffering isn't a competition. The way that we feel isn't a competition. And what's bad for me might not be bad for you, and vice versa. And so while I have some serious trauma, that doesn't mean what you went through was good or void of damage.
Exactly. It's not even apples and oranges. It's, I don't know how to explain it. Like,
yeah,
like my sexual trauma is not your sexual trauma, is not your sexual trauma. It's there are negative things for people, but
that was like a weird
saying it's
I know what you're saying, because
smaller
things
to someone else to be like, all right, well, this happened and I'm gonna move here.
I think I understand where you're coming from because I'm your spouse. But I think the way you just said that, like, bluntly was, like, very strange.
I had a specific conversation I've had with someone else in my head where that was coming from. Like, that, I'm just saying, like, that's a thing there. So, like, my emotional trauma is not the same as your emotional trauma. And how you handle it and cope with it and how I handle and cope with it, like, for me, it was just not.
Right.
Which is not healthy. And for you, it was, like, a kind of a consuming thing, like, once the feeling set in, until you're like, okay, let's get out of there.
Right.
Like in those moments. So everybody has their ways of dealing with things. And I don't want to paint you like I don't, that sounded negative to me as I said that.
Hey.
I am getting on a wordy thing.
You,
this is what happens.
You are actually really heightened right now because you don't normally talk about this stuff. And I want you to take a breath.
Yeah.
I want you to take a breath because I'm recognizing this in you. Take a breath. I'll talk about my stuff.
How did your family do
it? Yeah, you take a breath and I'll talk about my stuff, okay?
I get amped up because when
hard.
I start letting the feelings out,
because
they keep
coming.
Because
you don't ever talk about them. This is new for you. So
there's here. Yeah. I'm like, here's the dam.
Yeah.
My emotional dam, and I.
Right. Yeah. And that's valid. That's valid. But I think you're getting really heightened and you got to take care of yourself when you're talking about your feelings. So take a breath and I'll talk about my stuff.
I'll be here sipping Mellow Yellow. You got to turn the volume up.
Okay. Trauma dome. All right, now it's time to talk about my family. Cool. So mental health in my family was not great either. It was very much looked down upon. Very similar. I feel like it was just kind of like this older stigma. Like, I am very thankful for the way that the stigma is changing in today's world. Like, is it fixed? No. Has there been progress? Yes. And I saw a meme once that kind of made me laugh. That was like boomers talking about therapy. Like, did you hear so-and-so was in therapy? And then it's like millennials are like, you'll never guess what my therapist said the other day. Like, it's a totally different ballgame in the way that we approach talking about mental health. And there's still a whole lot of work to be done. But just as someone who has been on this mental health journey in and out of treatment since, you know, for the last 15 or so years, I can feel a difference in it. And I'm just like happy to see where it's going. You know, it's not the perfect way, but whatever is. However, when I was a kid, both my brother and I struggled with our mental health. And I do want to put like a trigger warning here. I'm not going to talk about anything super explicit, but I just know mental health talk in general and trauma can be triggering for folks. So I just want to, you know, make that aware to people that I'm just going to be talking about childhood trauma stuff without too much detail. But because of the way that my brother and I were raised, we both very much struggled with our mental health. And my brother had a break with that first, and he did end up in a psych ward. And my mom was very like upset about it, not in the way of being afraid for her kid, but very much upset because it inconvenienced her and it made her look bad, right?
Yeah.
And then years later, surprise, same. And so when I started to very much deeply struggle with my mental health, the response I got was, oh, you're going to be like your brother? So there was no compassion, no empathy, no concern. It was very much a shame in her life. It was a sore spot for her that I would be going through something because it was inconvenient, you know? And so it very much wasn't talked about. When I was a kid, they wanted to test me for ADHD, shocking that I would be neurodivergent, right? My mom told them they weren't allowed to test me because she didn't want me to have it. So obviously that cured my brain of neurodivergency.
That's true, because if it's never on paper, then it's not real.
But the stigma was so real about it to the point that like, even as I like grew up and stuff, you know, my mom would say to not, when I went to doctor's appointments, like, don't put down that you have bad anxiety or whatever. Like, don't put that on your medical forms because you don't want people to know that. That's not something you should share with your physicians. That's ridiculous. Like, that is an important piece of my health, is my mental health, because your mental health, surprise, your brain actually controls the rest of your body. So if your mental health is struggling, you can also experience physical symptoms, and there can be a lot of trouble there. So, it's okay to admit when you need help and admit that, you know, you have mental illness, because there's nothing inherently like morally wrong about having mental illness. It's not something you can control. And so, yeah, when I was growing up, it was very much, it anchored people to have mental health issues.
I mean, it's kind of how my family looked at it, like that. It was very much a, don't, we're not going to talk about that, but we're going to talk about her.
Right. You know, yes. It was very much a gossip point and not a support point.
1,000% Yes. Yep. I mean, honestly, they still kind of are that way.
Kind of.
I love my family dearly, but they are some talkers. Let me tell you.
I know.
I
know. I'm a big subject of conversation for your family.
I had to discuss with my therapist, which I did start.
Okay. Yeah, that's a good next point. Let's talk about where we're at with our mental health now.
Where I'm at is, if I open up the floodgates, just give me a little squeeze on the leg. I'll tone her down. It's tough. Okay. If I start talking about Bigfoot, Mothman, aliens, and apparently now emotions and feelings and family trauma, I'm just going to go on and on and on and
but
on
that's
and on.
It's good that you're talking.
They're all scary things. Let me tell you. Actually, I'm not afraid of any of the cryptids because I don't think they can hurt me. But my thoughts...
Mood.
Those things terrify me. But I don't even really have like bad thoughts. Like that's not for me. Mine is more a controlling how I feel about emotions and expressing emotions and things like that. It's more of a behavioral thing. It's not like I'm afraid. It's more that I shut down. I'm become like the transformer who's lost his spark, for all the nerds out there.
But so you started therapy this
week. I did start therapy.
Yes. I'm so proud of you.
I did do that. And
are you feeling hopeful?
I am feeling all right.
That is awesome.
Like, I think that I think that I'll be fine in time with I don't know how to explain it, but it's one of those things I'm working on. I think I'll get better at expressing emotions and thoughts and feelings and why I feel the way I feel about the things I feel.
Therapy is goal oriented, and I feel like your goal has been very much about identifying your feelings and being able to talk about them and not be stuck with them and shutting down. Like, that's huge.
That is one thing that I am interested in. Another one that I'm interested in is not having the negative reactions, whether it's shut down or avoidance or whatever, when other people have them, you know, whether the kids are highly upset or if you're going through a feeling about something and I want to be there for you. Because what I've done is, and what I've spoken with my therapist that I just started this week, as it were, one thing I've said is how do I say it? I kind of treat people by the golden rule. And that doesn't work when it comes to emotions. Like, if you're going through it and you're feeling something, I love you and I want to be there for you, but I am stuck at a place where I could not do it and I couldn't move through no matter how much I wanted to. And in times before, it was just like, well, I'm not going to make an effort to go out. I'm just going to give space because, you know, treating by the golden rule, do unto others how you would have done unto you. For me, it's just like, if I'm feeling something, just leave me alone.
Well, I think that's actually an interesting narrative to bring into place, though, because I'm very similar. And I think that is very much shown in how we cope with our mental health. Because for me, I want support when I'm struggling. And so when I notice, you never even tell me, I just know you and I can tell when you're struggling. And when I notice that you are, I am the first person to be there to support, to offer assistance, even if it's just sitting there holding your hand. Like, I'm like, okay, I know he's struggling. Let me help. And for you, because that's what I want, and for you who likes to be left alone, who likes to shut down, your automatic response has been like, oh, Tori's going through it. Let me just not talk to them at all.
Yeah, Tori's upset. Let me see what's going on Pluto. I'll be gone. But it's like that. And it's even, see, yours technically helps because it would make me quote unquote get over it faster, kind of, where it's like, I'm like, all right, we have another person here, we are being seen. If it was one of those like stealth video games, the eye icon would be fully open and red and filling up and anxiety there. So it's just like, you are going to stop now. Let's go ahead and press the hydraulic press down, much like a cardboard press found in any warehouse. So it would just press those feelings back down, and then I would be good to go. It's
just getting rid of your feelings again, which is not a good behavior.
And what I will say is, I would have just done that on my own anyway, but having you there just made me like turn the dial up on it.
And I think that so this is,
it
like,
still wasn't healthy.
Another important thing for like our listeners to hear is that you and I have been together for 7 years, and we didn't have this discussion about
15 7 years ago.
Yeah, it's been 7 years, pal. But in 7 years, it wasn't until the last few months that we actually discussed the way that we were processing things with the other when they were going through something and how it impacted us.
Yeah.
And it wasn't because we were fighting or having this negativity. It was that we're both kind of avoidant because of the way that we were raised and the way that it was so shamed that we didn't want to upset the other by saying, what you're doing isn't helping me. And we've been both on this like personal journeys of like getting better, because I think, you know, if you have access to it, I don't want to act like this is something that we are not privileged to have access to mental health care. But if you have access to it, I think one of the best things that you can do is to go to therapy for your kids. Because Jim didn't even like realize that he might have issues until recently. Because it's stigmatized. And you know, he looks at me, someone who has a whole lot of issues, and was like, I'm not like Tori, so I'm probably fine.
That's not me. It's like, I got a little campfire, and this over here is a meth shack that's burning down. I am doing good. You can roast hot dogs on both. I'm just saying. It's just one is bigger than the other.
Okay.
I love you.
Anyway.
I'm still processing appropriate things to say.
I've noticed.
Because I'm 12 years old in my brain. I don't know what my emotional age would be, if that's a thing, but I'm probably definitely adolescent, because I am a crazy. Well, no, I don't want not crazy. When that's not, I don't mean like the mentally ill pejorative version of crazy. I think like wacky. That's more what I mean. Like
wacky.
The things
He's
that
just
I say.
A little wacky.
I'm just a goofy little guy. Hey, you gotta be for the goofy guy.
Little guy. Yeah, I'm just goofy.
In a silly goofy mood.
I'm just goofy today. Yeah, I'm just all goofy.
But no, I did have some good discussions with my therapist on what to work on.
And that's amazing.
It was just kind of a getting to feeling out, and I was like, I'm gonna end up talking way too much, and I'm going to say a lot of things here, but you know what? We'll get some good stepping stones out of it. And they asked, like, oh, what's your relationship like with your family? I said, well, most of it's good. The rest of them are liars. I said, they like to lie about things. And I said, my aunt who raised me will always come to me and say, do you know what, say my mom's name or my living grandmother. Do you know what she said to me on the phone? I said, no, but consider your source. Yeah, I've said that every single time.
You know the story that I have. I should not share that publicly.
No, but that's another one. That is another one.
Yeah.
it's literally, they would always come to her and say, and they would stretch things. Like if somebody called me on the phone and asked me something and I talked for 5 minutes, they would then call her and try to weaponize that contact and say, oh, I talked to him for
a while. This is a really important note to place as well, because I think a lot of folks think when you grow up that your parents or your guardians that once you're an adult, that those things don't have a hold on you anymore. But the reality is that any sort of abuses or mistreatments that were prevalent throughout your childhood are still going to be there until you're in a place to set the boundaries to stop it. And that's not fair. It's not fair at all, because even when we're adults, we're still someone's child, right? We're still looking to set. We want to be able to still look to someone for guidance. And like, I don't talk to my parents about anything. But the reality is my parents still have a hold to, they still can make me cry. So I'm almost 30 and I struggle to set those boundaries too. So just like, if you're listening and you're still struggling with the relationship with your family and guardians, like, you're not alone. And it's okay, because it's not as easy as just cutting contact. I know some people recommend that, but I understand why you might not.
And
I understand why you might, but either option is valid, and your reasoning for it is valid. And if you're hurting because of your family as a grown up, I love you. And you're not alone.
I'm mutuals with a on TikTok with someone who is like an ex. I don't know if it was a cult. It's they've described it kind of ways. It wasn't like one specific like religious sect, but it felt very like Duggar like as far as like having 8 million kids and stuff. And they recently went full. Well, I'm just saying they recently had gone fully excommunication, like with their parents and everything. Yeah, yeah. And they're like, they personally are doing better. I'm not saying that's a good thing for everybody,
right?
But that popped up.
Right.
Like she's doing awesome.
Yeah.
And I love her content. I love reading and watching
her
videos.
I think that's like what's important to note, because I've seen like content. I just love to listen to people and their different stories. And I've seen it from both ends, and like asking people to like excommunicate their communities, their families. That's not always a valid option. And different cultures are going to feel differently about that, and we have to be intersectional about it. And so like, because I know personally, I've had a lot of people ask me like, why don't you just cut off your parents? Yeah, they're both on their way out, and I wouldn't feel comfy with that. So, like, that's why I keep them around, but I keep them at arm's distance, working on boundaries.
I was gonna say, it's not like they're not current. It doesn't excuse anything for not being currently fully abusive or anything.
Have
you
talked to my parents recently?
They're not.
Have you talked to them recently?
No.
Yeah, lucky.
They're in my presence. They're not currently terribly abusive.
Yeah, they live 4 states away, bestie.
Retracted then. That's fine. I don't talk to them. I don't.
Yeah.
The only contact I have is sometimes on the phone, you'll say, Jim, say hi.
Hi.
Yeah.
That's it.
That's because every time I'm on the phone with my mom, she's like, why doesn't Jim ever talk to me? He doesn't. And like, she just like gaslights me about you. And I'm like, you don't talk to him. Like, you haven't been to our house in 2 years.
I don't talk to anybody.
Like the last time I've been to your house, Jim stayed in Kentucky. Like, what? Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense.
Listen, I'm the worst person at responding, and I don't reach out first. that's just not me. That's not how I've ever been. And, you know, I don't come from an affectionate bunch. Like, that's your family and them.
My family, for all the horrible things, you can't leave a room in my family without a hug.
And they will hug you. They will constantly hug you. You can leave. My family...
I've been in Kentucky for almost 5 years.
We'll wave bye and then talk about you when you're gone.
And your family has never hugged me.
We're not huggers.
No, I've never been hugged. I'm a hugger.
We're just not.
I've never been hugged here.
It's not a physically affectionate bunch. So it's like, I don't, my love language does not include affectionate touch. Do I like to be hugged? Of course I like to be hugged. Do I think to give people hugs a lot? No, not really. I don't think about that.
And then there's
really
me and the kids who just like, we literally were just like, we're in the same room. We might as well hug.
Yes, that is Beanie Baby is she's very,
she just thinks she's the same person as me. She just hangs off my hip all day.
Well, she's very affectionate.
And then Pumpkin Pie, like literally earlier today, I was like sitting on the bed and she goes up and she's like, hey, I want to talk to you about this Warrior Cats game. And I was like, heck yeah, like tell me about it. She's telling me about it. And she gives me a hug. And then she goes to go downstairs, right? And she's like, oh, I wanted a hug. I'm like, you just hugged me. And she's like, yeah, what's another? And I was like, yeah, you're right.
That's good. That's a good one.
We're just huggers. But okay, so my current.
I was going to say, how are you doing on your mental health journey?
So I've been in and out
of Mount Doom, like, to cast the ring.
I've been in and out of mental health treatment since I was about 15 years old. In the beginning of my journey, it was not my choice to do so, so I didn't get anything out of it. And then because of the trauma that caused me, I didn't pursue it again until many years later. And I was kind of in and out of treatment for years, not long enough to ever really get anything out of it, except for a couple times, but then I'd move, whatever. Like, it can be really hard. And so I recently, I think in October, I started with my newest therapist, and it's going really great, honestly. I think that's the thing. It can be really hard to find a therapist, but you'll know if you have a conversation with your therapist the first time and it feels easy to talk to them and, like, you kind of can, like, joke around. Like, I think that's important. Like, my therapist just... The first few sessions, she was kind of trying to stifle laughter, and then she understood that I consider my whole life to be a joke and that she can laugh with me. but like last week, I went into my session. She's like, what do you want to talk about? Like, you've got all this stuff going on. And I'm like, yeah, I don't care about any of that anymore. And she's like, what do you mean you don't care about any of that? That's been like, we've had like 4 sessions in the last 2 weeks because you have not been okay. How do you not care? And I was like, I shut it down. And she's like, what? And I was like, yeah. And she's like, well, what about this thing that brings you joy? I was like, I don't really care about that. And she's like, I think you're depressed. And I was like, what? No, I'm not sad. I just don't care. I just don't want to do anything. And I was like, oh, wait.
And
when you connect the dots there, okay, yeah.
Exactly. And that's how I felt when you said, oh, let's do this quiz. This is avoid an attachment. And I'm like, oh,
something is going on in my brain that I was not aware of.
Okay, I understand this now.
Yeah, but I'm feeling better right now. I had a really rough few weeks. We had a really rough few weeks in this house the beginning of the year, you know, 2022, yep. Just one-upping 2021 already.
And 2020.
Yeah, it's just, you know, whatever. Anyway.
It's like the years at the end is like, man, that year was the worst one ever. 2022 is like, well, my beer, we're going.
Yeah,
well,
let's see. Is that your final answer? Yellow, is that your final answer? But yeah. So I mean, like I was recently officially diagnosed with CPTSD, which did not come as a surprise. That's what I had assumed to be. Seriously.
Should it be? Or I don't know how to respond to that. That's what, when I say, when people tell me they broke up with someone, I say, oh, I'm sorry. Or congratulations, depending on how you feel about it. I'm just like coming away with an official diagnosis.
I felt unsurprised. I mean, I just added it to my list of other diagnoses. Honestly, it's not a shock. So I mean, you know, I don't remember what I was going to say about that because you had to hit the buttons.
You just said you were recently diagnosed.
Yeah. And that's all I remember. I don't remember where I was going with it.
Did you want to talk about it? Do you want to say what your therapist was saying about it?
No.
Okay. Well, that's the show.
I mean, I'm going to start trauma therapy, so that's fun.
And what are you going to do there?
Trauma dump.
Yeah.
A little bit of that.
That. It's going to be great.
I... We have a very special guest joining us here in the Phantom Studio. It's Beanie Baby herself.
We got Beanie Baby.
Who earlier on this evening had put herself to sleep on the couch with a blanket and came out with a blanket, laid down on the couch, took it from her bed where she could have just laid down, but laid down yes. in the living room.
Yeah, she's still sleeping. Yeah, okay.
She's still very much asleep here.
Yes, she does my snuggles. She's sick.
Yeah.
So speaking of Beanie Baby, how do we discuss mental health with our children?
How do we discuss mental health with our children? I haven't really been part of those discussions. That hasn't been a thing that I've really had to discuss. I feel like I've discussed things like, oh, this is what we should do when we're angry. We should do this instead of hitting. Let's go ahead and sit and calm down. Like, go over here. You don't have to do this. Things like that. But I haven't taken what I would call maybe like a clinical approach to anything like that, because I don't know how yet. It's not a thing I've understood. It's a thing I'm working on learning and understanding, but it's not a conversation that I could fully kind of divulge in. Yeah, that's been more of a you thing.
Yeah, so the way that I typically discuss it with the kids is that depression is kind of, and again, we're talking to young children, so we're kind of oversimplifying things in a way that they can understand. So depression is kind of described as being sad without a real reason to be sad, right? Like nothing made us sad, but we're still feeling sad. That's kind of like depression. And anxiety is kind of like being afraid when there's nothing that we're scared of present. There's nothing making us afraid, but we feel that heightened feeling of fear. And so that's kind of how I've discussed it with the kids. And I've always told them as well, because I'm always there to help the kids process their feelings, label their feelings, cope with their feelings, co-regulate if they need. But at the same time, if what I'm doing isn't enough, if the coping mechanisms that I'm providing them with are not adequate, they know that they can go to a feelings doctor. That's how we describe a therapist, because the reality is we bring our children to a checkup every single year, right? Like to check on their physical health. Why aren't we doing that for their mental health, especially in the year 2022 when the world is online and the world is living in a pandemic and all of the crazy things happening, especially with our kids right now, who don't know if they're going to be in school in person or at home, and their friends are missing because they're sick. Like, there's so much for everyone to cope with right now. I think it would be unfair to think that isn't greatly affecting our kids as well, you know? And so I just always want my kids to know that there's other support. Like, if they need more than I can give, we can find someone to give it to them. And I know, like, with our 9-year-old, she has the best coping mechanisms. If you ever see her get really upset, you'll find her. If you're watching us on YouTube right now, you're going to see what I'm doing. But what she does is she breathes in for 5 seconds while tracing her finger up. And then she breathes out while tracing her finger down. And then she breathes in, tracing her finger up, and breathes out, tracing her finger down. And this really works for her. And I also see her do this when her sisters are upset about something. She's like, hey, breathe with me. And she shows them how to do that. And so, I mean, like all of these things, because, you know, mental health isn't always just about talking about our feelings. It's also about these coping mechanisms that help with the physical symptoms of our feelings. Like when it comes to our nervous system, like calming our nervous system down when we're overly anxious. And so those are the kinds of things I teach our kids with coping mechanisms. But I also always want our kids to know that I'm not the only person capable of supporting them, and that if they need more, I'll help them find it.
Yeah, and that's honestly kind of what you've done for me, is being like, I won't say that you talked me into therapy. You've recommended it. We had a voice message on Anchor, on our podcast hosting platform, from someone who said everyone should have therapy in like the most positive way possible. Like, even if you don't feel upset or like you need therapy, it's good to get therapy. And honestly, I've kind of gotten to the point recently where it's like, you know what? Therapy would be a great thing for me.
Well, here's the other thing that would be good that I really want to add in. If you have access to therapy, that therapy isn't only for people in crisis. And if you establish yourself with a therapist when you're not in crisis, you're going to be really thankful for that when you are in crisis. Like I said, I went to therapy 4 times in 2 weeks recently, and that was only available to me because I was already established with a therapist and I really needed that support at the time. And I'm really thankful that I had it. And had I waited till I was in crisis, I might have had no support, because it can unfortunately take time. There's a lot of issues in our mental health care system, in our healthcare system here in the United States. But that this podcast isn't about that. This podcast is just about, like, it's okay to talk about your mental health. It's okay to ask for help. It's okay to not be okay and talk about it. And it's okay to talk to your kids about it, because here's the thing I think I really want parents to hear, based on the way, like, do you see she's sleeping? I woke her up. I woke her up. Hang on, sweetie. The thing is, if you're a parent and you think your kiddo is struggling with their mental health, don't consider that a personal failing of your own. Your parenting is not the cause. It's not necessarily the cause. Like, I mean, my parents definitely had a say in mine, but I also know plenty of folks who've struggled with their mental health with the best, most supportive parents. And your kid's mental health is not a reflection of your parenting. But if you know your kid is struggling, it's okay to help them. It doesn't make you a bad parent. Just, you know, be there for your kids and accept that sometimes, you know, no one person can fulfill any other person's needs 100%, right? They say it takes a village. And I feel like, especially in today's world, we're very much individualized in parenting and on our own. And it's not easy. And so, you know, if we have the resources, it's okay to use them. And if your kid is struggling, that's not a reflection of you, but you do have a choice to help. And I know it's hard, but I love you. Again, I just want you all to know I love you. Whether you're struggling or so.
I love you too. She loves you, baby. And wants to watch Ladybug.
She wants to watch Ladybug. But anyway, we love you all. And it's okay. It's okay to struggle. And
you leaving?
I had a lot more to say, but I got very distracted by my little beanie baby.
My little beanie baby.
Do you want to go lay on our bed until I'm done?
Yeah. Do you want to go lay over there?
Okay, I'll be right there, Bubbas. Anyway, we're going to end the podcast now. We're going to put this to bed because we got to go put our baby to bed.
We are literally, this might be the first time we've ever actually gone to put someone to bed at the end
while
of this.
While we're
this
putting it to bed.
Uh-huh. All right, so this is Tori Phantom. You can find Tori Phantom on TikTok at
Tori Phantom.
Wow.
Instagram, Tori.Phantom. YouTube, Tori Phantom. Subscribe to my YouTube, Tori Phantom.
Yep, just search Tori Phantom. On the YouTube, and you'll find it. You'll find this in a video form shortly. You'll find the audio version of this wherever you listen to podcasts. That's everywhere. You guys are awesome. I'm Jim Beard. Nobody cares about following me anywhere. Anyway, you can follow me on TikTok at Jim Beard. The rest of my socials, I don't do anything anyway. So that's where we're going. We are going to put this podcast to bed, and we're going to put Beanie Baby back to bed.
Heck yeah.
An actual putting to bed. So until next time.
Good night.
Good night. Listen, do you need water?
I do need water. Can I have juice?
You don't. Let's drink water. It's bedtime.
Okay. Let's go.
All right, let's go. Let's go.